So if you would all just take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. When you made it to that portion of Scripture, please say amen.
Amen.
Okay. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3 through 5. 3 through 5. Let's read it in unison all together. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. Now, if you would also turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And again, when you hit that portion of Scripture, would you say amen?
Amen.
Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 11 through 15. 11 through 15. And let's read that in unison all together. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled for me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now if you bow your heads for prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity for us to hear Brother Libby preach, Lord, and just help him, Lord, give him the words to say, and just help it to touch each and every one of us in one way or another, Lord, and help this time, Lord, and Heavenly Father, amen.
All right. Well, as I was doing some studying, I came across these verses about the glorious gospel, and it really made me think about the glorious gospel. You know, sometimes I think that we, especially us who have been in church for a while, we hear these words and we take them for granted. You know, we hear the word gospel and we think, well, I heard that before. I know what the gospel is. I hear it. Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Yeah, the glorious gospel. Why did Paul say the glorious gospel? Well, that was something I really wanted to take a look at. So that's the title of our message tonight, is the glorious gospel, if any one of you are taking notes. A long time ago, I learned that if you learned the what of something, the where, the why, the when, and the how, you really know the subject. The what, where, why, when, and how. If you really want to get into English, that's basically the adverbs that we look for in telling a story or how to describe something. So I want to look at the what, where, why, when, and how of the gospel. And my desire, I think the Holy Spirit's desire, is when we leave tonight to really have a different view of the gospel. That is what I'm trying to do tonight, is to bring out a different view of the gospel, not the sleepy view that maybe we have after hearing about the gospel for all these many years if you've been saved for a long time. Okay, for those of us who are married or have been married, one of the things that I want to compare this to is like an engagement ring. How many people still have their engagement ring? Okay. Now, when husbands, be honest with me, when you got that engagement ring, How did you treat the engagement ring? Steve. He's looking at me like a deer in the headlights. Anybody that has, anybody want to say, how did you treat the engagement ring? Did you, yes, Micah. Okay, that's what I want to hear. You got this thing, and it was valuable. It was probably the most important thing that you ever had in your whole life at that point. So you put it somewhere that you were going to remember. You checked to make sure it was there. If it got moved, you were stressed out. It was very important to you. Okay? I'm sure you didn't walk down the road throwing it up. Hey, I want to see how high I can throw it up and still catch it. How about the girls? When you got that engagement ring, how did you treat it? Do I have any volunteers? I'm looking for volunteers. This is a participation. Like, you say amen. 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 Okay, I'm looking for a volunteer. Some girl, lady. Yes. Okay, you knew exactly where that engagement ring was at all times. Would that be a fair statement? Okay. It was valuable, it was important to you. I want you to think about that engagement ring. And I want you to think about how that might compare to the way we should be handling the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, if you don't. If you ever want to tell somebody what the gospel is, this is a great verse because Paul is talking about what did he preach? When you ever think about these missionaries and these apostles, what did they talk about when they went to somebody and they started talking about what had happened and what the gospel is? Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Okay? Christ died for our sins. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And that goes on for a couple more verses. But I wanted you to remember that the gospel is about Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. So in my mind, the gospel is Jesus, the man Jesus Christ. Paul says that several times in the New Testament, the man Jesus Christ. Why do I emphasize the man? Because God came in the flesh. Jesus, why do I want to say that? Because that was who he was. That was his earthly name. And that's what he was supposed to be called. And Christ, because that means the anointed one, the Messiah, the one who was talked about all through the Old Testament, the anointed one, the accepted sacrifice, the only sacrifice that God the Father would accept. So what is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the man, Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the gospel, we need to make sure people understand that it's the man, Jesus Christ, and you can describe that to him, his death, burial, and resurrection. What else is the gospel? If you turn to Romans chapter 1:16, it says, and I won't make you turn all night because you'll get tired and give up on me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. It's the power of God. Did you ever think about that? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's how we get saved, through the gospel, by understanding the gospel. And whosoever will, we know in Romans, anybody can be saved, and it says in the Bible, whosoever will. The next thing I want to talk about, and it's still describing what the gospel is, that it hits me every time I read this. You will be judged by the gospel. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. I'm sure you have. Romans 2:16. You are going to be judged by the gospel. What do you mean I'm going to be judged by the gospel? When you heard the gospel, it says in Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. When you got the gospel, you had a responsibility to either accept it or reject it. That's one way you're going to be judged. But the gospel also teaches us many things that we are responsible for. So God is going to judge. If you want to stand before God someday in the Lord Jesus Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ, we are not going to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," unless we were faithful to the gospel. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. So, what is the gospel? Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. The man, Jesus Christ. It's the power of God, if you can think about those words, the power of God. That's how God works. It's through that power of the gospel that we're going to be judged by the gospel. And then I'm going to skip these verses, but I'm going to mention it. There are enemies to the gospel. If you're taking notes, Romans 11:29. We have enemies to the gospel, and I could spend an hour on that. The gospel was a mystery in Romans 16:25, a mystery that was revealed to Paul. And then Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, there is no other gospel. And Paul was very careful to tell the people because they had other people coming in that were Jewish people who said you have to keep the law. But in Galatians 1, 6, verses 6 through 7, he says there's people that pervert the gospel. And we can see that. If you go drive down Sealands Grove, and you could go by six churches, why is that? People have perverted the gospel. They read they take the Bible. Oh, I don't like that. I think we should have a new Bible that says this so that we can have it the way we want it to be. And that started around 1840. They didn't like the fact that they weren't allowed to baptize infants. So they came out with the first revision to the Bible because that's what they were trying to change, was the fact that you had to be born again before you should be baptized. So anyway, that's what I wanted to bring about what is the gospel. Okay? Now I want to talk about where is the gospel. Let's quickly look at Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14. Again, I know some of you have heard all this before, but I'm trying to, maybe you didn't hear about some of the things that struck me as important about the gospel. And I need to get excited about the gospel. I can't get other people excited about the gospel if I'm not excited about the gospel, okay? If you're not excited about the gospel, I want you to be excited about the gospel, okay? I want you to have that ring in your hand, okay, the engagement ring. And wherever you go, that engagement ring is the gospel, okay? It's important to you. It's one of the most important things that you've ever received. And that's why Paul was able to say the glorious gospel. He was talking about the glory of God, just the fact that it came from God, and it was God himself in the Son, and it came from God the Father. So the verse I wanted to go to was Matthew 24:14. And the gospel, as Jesus was talking about the gospel, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. So where all nations, all the world, okay? And if you go on, I mean, there's a lot of verses, but in Matthew 9:35 it says, all cities and villages. Matthew 4:23, teaching in their synagogues. Mark 16:15, all the world to every creature. Well, that means everybody, right? That means every person. Romans 15:19, Paul said, I have fully preached the gospel. And I thought about that. And then he said in Romans 15:20, not where Christ was named. He made sure that he went everywhere, but not to where somebody else already went. He was looking for places that nobody else had preached. Well, that's interesting to me, isn't it? Back to my thing about six churches in one little town. So where does the gospel go? Jesus intended us to go to every person in all the world, to all nations. And Paul, I mean, I don't think the Bible really gives us a true picture of what Paul did and what he went through. He said, I have fully preached from Jerusalem to Illyricum. Okay, why should we care about the gospel? You ever ask yourself why? I mean, your kids always ask you this. My grandkids always say this. Why? 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 Well, that's a good question. Why? I mean, we should know why. We shouldn't just do things because Steve said we should do it that way. I mean, Steve's a smart guy, but we should know why. Well, one reason I say why we should care about it is because Jesus Christ said so. Amen. In Mark 16:15, he said, go ye. In Matthew 28:19, he said, go ye. He said we're supposed to go. We're supposed to go. All right. Not sit, go. There's a difference, like stop, go. Amen. Okay? We are expected to do something with the gospel. Now, I'll get to what we're gonna do. But every person that's saved or not saved, everybody has to do something with the gospel. If you're not saved, you're either gonna accept it or reject it. If you are saved, you've accepted it. But then you can't sit down and say, I'm all set. Come. I'm going to live easy and wait for heaven. That's not what Jesus Christ expected us to do. He commanded us to go and do everything that he said we should do. Whatsoever things I have commanded you. That's one reason. Jesus said we should go. Romans 1:16. Let's look at that. I think it's an important verse. I think of this verse often. I think of it often. Did I say that? Often. I do think of it often. I think of it often when I forgot to tell somebody about the Lord, or I had an opportunity, but I failed. Say amen if you've ever been there. Amen. Okay? Oh, I was talking to this guy. I could have given him a tract or invited him to church or at least had some spiritual conversation. I just talked to him for 5 minutes. Okay, Romans 1, 15 and 16. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I think we should make ourselves learn that verse. I am not ashamed of the gospel. So when you talk to somebody, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to talk to this guy about the Lord. Why should you be ashamed of the gospel? Sometimes I think we are more afraid of the people we know than the people we don't know. What do you mean by that? Well, I'll tell you what I mean since you asked me. I mean that we are more afraid to talk to our neighbor or the guy we work with because we have to see them tomorrow. I'm serious. We might have to talk to them about the Lord. They might even make fun of us. I better witness to this guy over here. Well, I'll probably never see him again. He works at Turkey Hill. Now, if I'm stepping on toes, I'm stepping on my own toes, but I want us to get excited about the gospel, but I want us to do something about the gospel. Okay? And it should be our collective burden to do something about the gospel. I said this before, we cannot look at these empty pews and say, oh, Lord, please send people in to sit in these pews. It doesn't work that way. It really doesn't work that way. You know how it works? It works through us. God wants to use people. That's how he does it. He works through people. He works through us. That's how we fill these pews. We say, I love my church. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'd be dead by now if it wasn't for church. I would be. So would you, most likely. If it wasn't, that's why Paul said the glorious gospel. He knew. He killed Christians. Do you realize that? And God used him in a miraculous way. He wrote, according to my study, 13 of the New Testament books. God revealed the whole mystery of church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, through Paul. Ask yourself, am I ashamed of the gospel? You answer your own question. 2 Corinthians, why? Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it's glorious. I'm going to go to the when. We did what, where, why, and when. Well, if you go to Mark 1:1, you're going to see when. We'll quickly turn there. There's other verses, and you could say it began at Pentecost, but I'm going to say it came when Jesus showed up. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the beginning of the gospel. When I read this verse before, Matthew 24:14, he said we're supposed to be doing that. Then the end shall come. We'll be raptured out. That's the end shall come, okay? And then the tribulation. How about Mark 1:15? I like this. The gospel started when Jesus showed up. Now after that, I'm going to read 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. Now is the time. The gospel is here. We are supposed to keep on preaching it until the rapture, until we're gone, because that's our responsibility. Okay, now we're going to go on to how. So we did what, where, why, when, how. Well, I think you probably have a pretty good idea of this already, but in Matthew 4:23, Mark 16:15, Acts 8:25, and Acts 14:21, it says, teaching and preaching, teaching and preaching, teaching and preaching. Okay? I think you know the difference. We preach the gospel, but once people get saved, we have to teach them. They don't know, they didn't, when they are born again, they didn't fill up with with knowledge, the Holy Spirit still working and changing them into a born-again Christian that's maturing in the Lord. So we have teaching and preaching. I wanted to skip back to Romans 1:1, though. I think it's important that we understand that we do have people that are called to be full-time in the gospel. Not everybody, once they get saved, is going to feel that they're led into the ministry. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. That was his full-time desire and ministry. He was separated. He did that full-time, all the time, 24/7. He did have to work to help support himself. He was separated unto the gospel. How about Romans 10:15? So if he's separated unto the gospel, let's say he's separated unto the gospel. We have missionaries that are separated unto the gospel. We have preachers that are separated unto the gospel. We have evangelists we have separated unto the gospel. We're going to have Steve separated unto the gospel. How about this? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Okay? Except they be sent. Well, how are they going to be sent? Well, they are being sent by us who are not sent. That's how they're sent. So when they go out and they teach and preach, they're going to be full-time giving the gospel and the word of God. So do they need to go to school and learn how to convince people how to be saved and come up with these fancy, tricky sayings and all that stuff? How about 1 Corinthians 1:17? They're separated under the gospel. They're going to be sent. We're going to be the ones that sent them. And this is Paul saying. Paul was criticized for not being a snazzy, good-looking, funny personality. He said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect." Not with the wisdom of words. They are separated unto the gospel and relying upon us to send them, but the Holy Spirit to be working through them to present the gospel to these people. These people is all the world, everywhere, every creature. So it was just an encouragement to me to see how Paul viewed the gospel. He said it two times in 2 Corinthians and 1 Timothy that it was glorious. How many times have you thought, how glorious is the gospel that I received, that I was able to receive myself? Okay? So we got this gospel. Are we carrying it around like this, trying to give it to somebody? Oh, yeah, the gospel. Yeah, okay. I wonder where it is. I don't know. I said this before, and I mean it. That is the most important thing you could give someone in your entire life. And I can say this with, I know I could get people to agree with me and say, it is the most wonderful feeling you can have yourself, knowing that somebody got saved because you had something to do with it. It's not a bragging thing. I think it's one of those blessings that you receive. I know we hear this thing, it's better to give than to receive. I'll tell you what, it's the most wonderful feeling that you ever have in your life when someone trusts the Lord because you had something to do with it. So that's what I wanted to share, and hopefully I didn't go too much over time. I didn't even pay any attention to the clock. But I just felt like we needed a shot in the arm. I needed a shot in the arm, okay? Maybe you don't need a shot in the arm. Maybe I need a kick in the pants, maybe not a shot in the arm. Maybe you need the same thing, I don't know. But I didn't wanna come and make you feel good. That wasn't my goal. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, hey, pastor's gone, we need to shake ourselves up a little bit. He shouldn't be the one that has to go team, go team, go. That's not his job. His job is to lead. It's our job to help him, to encourage him. How encouraged is it when you're going out and you look behind you, where is everybody? They're not following me. I mean, they're not getting with the program or whatever. So it's an encouragement to our pastor. I believe it's being faithful to the Lord to take that gospel that you have and do something with it, because everybody that's saved does have the gospel. You all have the same opportunities. I'll be honest with you. This is a thing that I'm 66, and I'm still growing in this, trying to be more bold in the gospel. Hey, I went to work, too. They made fun of me. They called me little Christian. Shh, don't. Here comes Dave. Don't talk about it. Telling jokes and stuff, you know, the kind of jokes that they talk about when there's a bunch of guys around. Hey, I haven't lived in a little corner over here. I went through the same thing you're going through. But I'll tell you what, I witnessed to every boss that I ever had. I tried to have a Bible study at every job I ever worked at. And you know what? It's possible. You can do it. All you have to do is want to do it. Okay? I'm not saying something that I'm not trying to do myself. And that's why I felt burdened about putting together a track, because I cannot tell somebody else to do something if I'm not willing to do it and myself. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the glorious gospel. That's what it is. It's the glorious gospel. You love us. You made a way for us to spend eternity with you. And Lord, thank you that you've given us the opportunity to help souls come to you. Lord, help us to not be ashamed. Help us, Lord, to be bold. Help us, Lord, to defeat the enemy when Satan says, no, you don't want to do that. Lord, we do want to do that. We want to do it for you. And Lord, we want to do it because we know that you're glorified. Even if we get ridiculed, you're glorified because you said that if they did that to you, they would do it to us. Lord, I love you, and I thank you for this church. I pray that you would bless this church through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.